are now listening to an inspirational message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where Dr. Michael Wesley Sr. is pastor. Please join the service in progress.
God has been good. Hadn't he been good? He is good. And he's good all the time. The truth is, he's been better to us than we can even be to our own selves. Amen. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. That's one constant that we can always rely on. Look at what he's doing. He's showing out. He's turning the lights on in the universe. Never before has people seen what they are seeing in the heavens. Earthquakes, tornadoes, all kinds of things just showing the power of God everywhere. And yet he blesses us to continue to live. That's good. Father, we thank you today for blessing us with our lives. Thank you for this week that you've blessed us to walk through. Thank you for our rest last night and a desire to rise early this morning and to come again to the house of prayer. We thank you for the sharing of the worship experience with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the songs, the scriptures, the prayers. And now, Lord, we thank you for the word. Pray that you would lift again your human out of himself and fill me with the Holy Spirit. We may speak the truth as you would give it, that you would bless the words that you have placed in my mouth and the meditations on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight. Help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to direct your attention this morning to the familiar words that have been read earlier, the 31st chapter of Proverbs, verses 10 through 31. We've read that responsively. And because we will go through those verses, I won't be redundant and read all of them. But just to set a few of those verses in your mind, we'll look at verses, we'll just read verse 10, and then we'll skip down to verse 29 through 31. And there, the 10th verse say, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And then verse 29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is the word of God for the people of God. I'm talking today about the Proverbs 31 woman. The Proverbs 31 woman. Now, she's not in it. Particular woman, but she is an example of who God wants women to be. It's amazing to me, and it's been documented over the last little while, the change that has occurred in how women today are perceived, and society has redesigned the role of the woman. I shared even with our staff the other day, I won't go into the details of it, a little clip from Juanita Bynum as she was sharing perceptions of women today. And she uses it in a straight talk. I wouldn't call it a sermon, but it's straight talk to women. And she was digging into the question of what has happened and why has there been such a change in the way women are perceived. I challenge today that if you would let your mind go back to yesteryear, to television shows, to commercials from years ago, to magazine items and things, and look at how women were portrayed in those and compare that to what you see today. If you look back and you see how women were portrayed, you would see pictures of women sitting in a rocking chair, rocking babies. You would see images of women in the kitchen cooking a meal for a family, maybe specializing with some particular name brand product. You would see images of women sitting on the bed reading stories to children. That almost sounds like it's fiction today. You don't see images of women today like that. Instead, you see women in spandex. You see women in aerobic outfits, or you'll see a woman in a sleek business suit with a briefcase in her hand as she's going to work or going down the busy streets. You'll see women in a different type of mold altogether. And the question that has to be raised today is, which view of women is appropriate to call her an excellent woman? Is it the image of yesteryear? Is it the image of today? In today's world, you would look at a woman and you would see that she is a woman who works outside of the home. She got her own career. She builds her own career and demands equal pay. She's a woman today that does not submit to her husband. She demands that everything is the way she wants it to be. She's probably a woman who has possibly been married 2, maybe 3 times. It doesn't matter. And that somebody said, the more the merrier. 4 or 5 times be fine. And I'm not critical of anyone. I'm just talking about what it looks like today. Today, it doesn't matter whether she has children or not. If she has children, she has probably put them in a child development center somewhere. And that's a good thing because it gives the kids a head start in school. But that's not her purpose. Her purpose is putting them in child development center so she don't have to deal with them. And when she gets home or gets the children home, she makes sure that every kid got a TV in his room or her room and got a cell phone, so that they can entertain themselves and not have to bother her. For breakfast is routine, that cereal and cold coffee is the order of the morning. Not hot breakfast, not good food, just something to do and you're on your way. And so that's the kind of woman the world today applauds. You go, girl. She works hard for her money. That's what they sang about. But what about God? What does God's image of the woman that should be praised? That's what we'll find in today's text when we look at the book of Proverbs in this 31st chapter and look at who I describe as the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, before I describe her, I gotta be fair. The book of Proverbs talks about other women too. This is not the only kind of woman that the book of Proverbs talks about. What is Proverbs? Proverbs, first and foremost, is a series of short phrases that are designed to be wisdom-oriented with the intent of teaching generations what God's will and ways are. Many of them were written by Solomon, who was said to be the wisest man. So he collected a lot of short sayings, and in them he uses a lot of comparisons. So in his comparisons, he talks about other kind of women. What kind of women did he talk about? He talks about an adulterous woman in there. And he talks about how she's out in the streets and how her lips are smooth as butter. And she's looking to whom she may bring in and seduce. He also talks about a noisy woman, a fussy, boisterous woman, loud. Now, some of y'all know some of them. They ain't all left in Proverbs. He talks about a foolish woman. He compares a foolish woman with a wise woman. He also talks about a rebellious woman, a woman who resists, who pushes back against everything. And he talks about a quarrelsome woman, an argumentative woman. And in those kinds of women, he talks about how even men don't want to be bothered. No matter how much provision and how well of an establishment you want to be, who want to be locked in with somebody who fusses all the time? Or who want to be locked in with somebody who's noisy all the time? And then in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 21, it really talks about another kind of woman. That kind of woman, that passage in 1 Kings 21 is a description of King Ahab. And it talks about his wife, whose name you know is Jezebel. And he talks about how she influenced him to do evil. Now, the natural process of a man being with a woman over a period of time is that woman is definitely going to have an influence on that man. But that man should not be influenced to do evil. But Jezebel uses that influence to beguile and move Ahab. So this Proverbs 31 is written by a man who's not known very much in Scripture. His name is Lemuel. He's a king. We don't know where he was king of or what he was king of. But he says that, look at verse 1 of chapter 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Now, what we're saying and what we're going to show you is that his mother gave him some advice because she knew that this boy was going to be king. She maybe have already been queen, and she knew that he was in line to come up to be a king. So she gives him some motherly advice. What did she say? She said to him in verse 3, you can look at it, don't give your strength to women. He said, while you're single, be careful. Don't go out and fornicate and play around all and let the women take all your strength. Then in verse 4, she says to her son, don't drink, because you're going to become king, and drinking will cloud your judgment and your ability to think clearly about things. Then in verse 8, she tells him, she said, now speak for those who are dumb. Speak up for others who cannot speak for themselves. It's a good virtue to be able to take up for somebody who can't fend for themselves. And then she says to him in verse 9, she says, and judge rightly. She's anticipating him becoming king. When you become ruler, you're going to have to treat people right and judge people fairly. And then she says, starting in 10 and what 10 through 31 is all about, she says, and find a good wife. Now that's the challenge. That's the challenge for both men and for women. Look at the way he says it here. She told him, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find the right one? He said, because she said, it's such a rarity that her price is above rubies. And rubies is just a description of rare gems, but expensive. And if you find someone... And today I'm focusing on women, so don't worry, men, because I want the women to understand it's just as hard for a woman to find a good man as it is for men to find a good woman. We just described some of the other kind of women that the Proverbs talk about. But, you know, brothers, don't think you're going to get by. You come back on Men's Day. We're going to get you. We'll talk about you on Father's Day. But today we got to help the ladies to understand God's design, because what God is doing, he, Lemuel's mother is telling him, don't you find one of these other kind that we just talked about. You find a godly woman, a virtuous woman. I wish I could ask the men today, how many know that it's really hard? It is to find somebody who's right. Somebody who wants to do right. Somebody who will do right. None of us can do right. All of us want to do right, but we're not always able to do right. Hello, somebody. So what we want to look at, what did she describe for the woman that he needs to be after? Now, that's what you can't see, because we're reading an English text, and this original word was written in Hebrew. And what you can't see and what you don't understand is that in the Hebrew alphabet, there were 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And each one of these verses from 10 through 31 starts or begins with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So it wasn't just for Lemuel. It was for all Jewish boys. They grew up where they could memorize, just like they memorized the alphabets. They would then have a formula that they carried around in their heads and in their hearts for the right kind of woman that they were looking for in life. So what did she tell him? If you're going to find a wife, what kind of wife? Verse 11. He says to her, she says to him, you find the right woman, you need to make sure she got godly character, good character. Put that down. Good character as a wife. Look at what it says. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now you gotta understand the times. the times when this was written were different from times today. At this time in the history of the world, women were not considered equal. They were not considered partners. Women were more or less considered possessions. And they were treated more like servants than as intimate partners. So the trust relationship between a man and a woman wasn't even the order of the day, because women being treated as servants, the men did not look for them or look at them as being someone that they necessarily needed to bind with. For intimate purposes, they, most of them, had concubines. And so their physical satisfaction was dealt with in that dimension. They looked at the women as being servants in the house. So consequently, there was no trust built between them. When a man would go away from home and he would be gone on a business trip for 2 weeks or more, he would lock up all of his possessions because he did not trust that the woman who was now his wife would be responsible enough to take care of things the way they needed to be. So often when he'd come back and he'd find that the money was gone and so was she. And so there was no trust thing. But listen at what Lemuel's mother is telling him. She's saying, son, find a woman who has character. Someone who can, listen at this, have your back. Someone that you can build a trust relationship with, so that when you do go, when you do need to be gone, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to come back and you don't have to hustle to try to put back in place what has been taken away. You don't have to cheat to try to gain more. You don't have to try to do underhanded things to build back what she lost. So may I tell you, the first thing for mothers this morning, for all women, whether you're married or not, whether you plan to be a woman of character, of godly character. And if you choose to be in a relationship, be the kind of person who can be trusted. That man knows that you have his interest for real. That is not about anything else, that you make him important. I've seen godly women. I've seen women like that in today's society. Few, but I have seen them. But that's what's needed. The second character, second trait that Lemuel's mother is trying to impress upon her son, and it comes up in verse 12 and verse 13. That verse 12 is really a transition statement. But look at what he says in verse 13. Talking about the woman that's got character. She would do him good and not evil all of the days of his life. All of the days of her life. She's going to make sure that that man is lifted up. She's going to make sure that that man is made important. She's going to make sure that she shows him that she got his back. And then verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and working willingly with her hands. Not only is she a spiritual-minded woman, a woman who has fine character, but look at the second thing that Lemuel's mother is saying. Look for a woman who can be a good homemaker. A homemaker. Not just a housekeeper, because you can hire one of those to be your housekeeper. But you need a woman to be a homemaker. And in the day's robotic world, in the day's remote control world, not many are seeking to make a home. And this is what Lemuel's mother is saying. You need somebody, man, who's willing to work with their hand, not only to support you, got your back, but someone who's willing to put their physical touches in place to make sure that this is an inhabitable, wonderful experience. Look at how he does it. She uses the language of the day. She seeks wool and flax. Those are raw materials. Wool is needed for making clothes for the winter. And flax, which is translated linen, is used for making clothes in the summer. You need somebody, man, who's industrious. In those days, there was no Walmart. There was no gentleman's store. No gentleman jack. You couldn't go and find a suit or clothes nowhere. You couldn't go and get jeans from Jordache. But no Jordache. The women had to make the clothes. So the woman had to be skilled enough to take the raw material of wool and linen and make thread out of it. And then once she made the thread, to make the fabric. And then out of the fabric to create the clothes for the family. She was a homemaker. She saw to it that her family was clothed, were taken care of. Look at it. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. That was before Kroger had a remote program that would deliver to your door. This was before DoorDash. This was before all of these instant delivery services. The woman would have to go like a merchant on a long journey somewhere to find food and good things to bring to her household. And it wasn't like she had a car sitting outside to drive in. You know, I know there are plenty of women who are bargain hunters, and they look at coupons, and they will drive 30 miles across town to find this item on sale. So you like the woman on the merchant ship, you go a long way to bring stuff home. But these women had to walk. So she would walk all the way wherever she had to go, find the good stuff, and bring it home. And she did it with delight without complaining because she saw that that was what was necessary for the good of her household. So the vast majority of these verses here from 13 down to about 20 are all describing the woman as a householder, as an excellent homemaker. So look at what else she does. She rises up while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maids. Now, the lady be saying, don't be waking me up. Don't be touching me. Don't be bothering me. Women today sleep with things over their eyes and plugs in their ears so they don't hear nothing, don't see nothing. Don't bother me. But this woman, a woman in that day, understood that it was her job. They didn't have, this was before Alabama Power, so they didn't have flip-on lights. They burn, they live by candlelight. And so the woman would wake up after midnight to make sure the candlelight was still on. She had to keep the candle going. And then she would rise up before dawn and go outside and grind the corn so that she could prepare the meal for the house. Wasn't no cereal. She was gonna cook, baby. I was telling her this morning, man, I'll tell you the truth. I was trying to make my mom be better than anybody else's mom. Well, she wasn't perfect. I understand all of that. But I remember a time in my lifetime when her brothers would come from Detroit, and they drove. They would drive 12, 13, 14 hours to get to Birmingham. And sometimes they'd get home, get here 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I saw that lady get up, and she would go in that kitchen, and she would fix those men something to eat. And it didn't matter what time they came. And I can remember, man, being a boy, man, we would wake up into the smell of bacon and sausage and all of that. And she just walked down the hall naming the menu. And boy, you hear them feet start hitting the floor. We're going to get up and eat. You can smell them biscuits and all of that stuff. Not today. How many know? I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I just want to tell the truth. How many women know that probably 50% of the time your meals are outside the home? And especially if they got grown and gone. Just the two of y'all there. Lord help. It's the truth. But this woman would get up early in the morning and she would make sure not only the candlelight lit after midnight, but get up before day and cook the meal and make sure that her maids, listen, had their portions. That, what does that mean? It means that she was a queen and she was training her son to become a king. And she would get up and she would plan the work for her maids, for her servants. So she was not only, she was in charge of the house and she was in charge of planning the responsibilities for other folk who served in the house. She was somebody, that's why I call her the Proverbs 31 woman, because this is a different type woman. Okay, look at him. Verse 16, she had a little entrepreneurship in her too. She considereth a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. She plants a vineyard. Wait a minute. This woman had some insight as to what was going to be good for the family. So she considered a field. She scouted out. She looked for some property to buy. And when she carefully considered and analyzed what the property was going to be, she bought it. Not with money that her husband gave her. With money that she had earned and had saved, that she had not indulged on herself. And she buys the field and she plants it so that it produces a vineyard for the good of the family. Lady, with something I'm trying to help you see. Look, she girded her loins with strength and strength of her arms. She was a strong woman, but she didn't get the strength because she went to the gym to work out. She got strong from doing the household task. And she needed to maintain her strength to keep it going. I mean, you know, when you're doing something, it's easy to keep it going. It's when you stop and you start trying to do it again that you lose the strength. Verse 18, she perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. You look at this. This woman not only was good at making clothes for her family, but she made belts and she made sashes. You got to understand those days, dresses were long. And those long dresses, in order for them to be held up, they had to have a belt around them or a sash. So she made more than just what was needed for her household. She made some and she took them down to the merchant's men so that they could sell them. And she earned extra money. A woman is creative. You can't beat a creative woman. And especially when she's using her creativity for the good of her family. And this woman did. Look at this. Verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. That's why she needed to be strong. Well, she had to operate that sewing machine. And it wasn't one of them Miss Singer automatic things. I mean, it wasn't one of these things you push a button. I mean, she had to crank that thing. She had to pedal that thing. She had to pick it up and move it and whatever else had to be done. She was a special woman. All of this is describing her as a homemaker. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Look at this now. That's number three right there. So look at what I've said to you so far. What kind of woman was Lemuel's mama telling him he needed to be looking for? Look for a wife who got good character. Look for a woman who can be a good homemaker. And then look at, here it is, number three. Look for one who can be a generous neighbor. Verse 20, look at it right there. She stretches out her hand to the poor. She wasn't selfish. She reached forth her hands to the needy. She was generous. She was giving away stuff. She was sharing in the neighborhood. How many remember a time like that? How many remember a time, man, it wasn't nothing for my mama to send me next door or 2 doors down. Go down there and get me two of them tomatoes. Tell me, let me give me two of them tomatoes. Give me three of them iced potatoes. Give me a cup of sugar. And people did it because they were neighborly. And they didn't get on the phone. They certainly didn't get on the internet and say, "Good, you know I had to help her. You know I had to give her something." You know, they didn't do that. That was a time in the community when people went around and knocked on the door to take up money to bury somebody. And there wasn't no talking about nobody. They just did what they did because they had a heart, a generous heart for their neighbors. And a woman who cares not only about her household, but cares about others. It's going to be somebody to be around and somebody to be with. And then look at 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. She's not afraid that the winter comes because she already has wool to make clothes. And for all of her household, she clothed them with scarlet. She made thick garments and she colored them red and a deep dark color. Because we all know that dark colors hold heat. So if it snowed in the winter, she wasn't worried about her children being cold. She made sure that she made appropriate garments that they could be worn in the winter. And look at this. Verse 22, and she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing of silk and purple. In spite of getting up early, in spite of staying up late, getting past midnight, she did not neglect herself. She knew how to take care of herself. And she didn't do it half either. She took the finest of the garments, the silk. She wanted to look good, ladies. There's nothing wrong with looking good. She clothed herself in purple. Purple was always a symbol of royalty. She knew that she was somebody. She knew who she was. And she didn't mind looking good. And it's all right for you to look good. But you can't be the only one look good. Take care of the folk first. Take care of the children. Don't neglect them. Make sure that they are taken care of. That's what this word is showing us here. Look, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Let me explain. In ancient cities like that, when you entered into a village or new community, there was a gate. And just on the inside of the gate, there was a patio, a little raised area where the older men in the community gathered every day. And they were kind of like the judges or the elders. And they made decisions concerning the community. If people had a dispute, they would bring it to the elders. And they would solve and dissolve the situation. It was kind of like a court. But you had to be a man who was respected in order to sit among that group. And because this man had a good wife who had done him good well, and he was proud to be known as her husband, so he could go among the elders and not worry about them whispering and discussing and talking about. Are you following me? So it goes all the way back to the woman who has good character. And she did all of that for his good, to build him up, to help him be all that God wanted him to be. She poured herself into him so that he could be the man that God wanted him to be. Man, when you got a woman like that, that's why I said behind every good man stands a woman. A woman who's serious, a woman who has his back, a woman who's sincere. This is the example of the godly woman. That's why I call her the Proverbs 31 woman. No, she's not the Fourth Avenue woman. She's the Proverbs 31 woman. She's different. She stands out because she's a wife who has character. She's a householder, a homemaker who does things and makes the sacrifices that are necessary for a household to operate. She manages and promotes and is trustworthy and all of those kinds of things. She's generous as a neighbor. Then I want you to see number four. Here it comes. She opens her mouth and she speaks, verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She is also, here it is, number five, an influential teacher. When she speaks, people listen because she's not just talking. She's not talking trash. She's not gossipy. She's speaking words that offer value to others. Women at that day couldn't go out in public, so she wasn't talking to men. She was speaking more at home. How many know we grew up in an era when mothers were at home and they spoke things. We didn't always like it. We didn't always agree with it. But it's as we have aged that our prospect and our understanding has changed. And we could appreciate now what we were given then. And so that's what the passage is saying. She opened her mouth. She's a teacher. She taught her home. She taught her neighbors. She taught where she could. And I'm sure as an older woman, can you imagine as women become older in the community and grow in the respect from others in the community, people will seek out those who have the wisdom. I know I can talk to you because I can trust you. I know that I can tell you and you're not going to tell nobody. I need some advice. How do you make it? Young women need to ask older women that today. How do you stay in a relationship 20, 30, 40 years? How do you stay hooked up? Sometimes, baby, you just have to ignore some stuff. You don't have to go word for word, toe for toe. You need to hear some of this. Rather than taking a club, I'm not here to beat you up. What I'm here to do is to offer you an understanding of the word of God. God put this in here. I didn't put this here. And that's why I'm going verse by verse so that you can see it and understand what God exalts. We've talked about what the world exalts. What the world exalts today is seeing flesh. You see women today and you see their flesh. You can come to church and you can see a flesh. You can go to the beach and see the flesh. You can see as much flesh in church as you see at the beach. In both places, you see thongs. But this is different. This is a different mantra. This is a different standard. This is a different call. And that's why I want you to see it. This is Mother's Day. This is for you. And if you haven't done it yet, it's not too late. So look, come on, walk with me. Walk with me. Let me summarize it. I'm almost done. She's a wife with character. She's an excellent homemaker. She is a generous neighbor. She is a teacher with influence, or an influential teacher. Here comes number five. Look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. What are we saying, number five? She's a blessed mother. What makes her blessed? Because finally, her children get it. They may be a little older, but their prospect has changed now. They begin to see what mama meant. They begin to understand the value of the lessons that were taught. They begin to understand why she wouldn't let you go out the door dressed like that. Why she told you, tell that boy no. Tell him he got to go home. It's too late for him to be visiting. It's too late for him to be called. We used to say, oh, that's old fashioned. That's old. Now I see different. I hear different. I think different. I have a deeper appreciation. So today I can look back on some of those lessons and I can stand here before you today and say you are blessed today in heaven, lady, because of what you did, how you raised us, what you taught us. You didn't send us, you brought us. What you insisted upon, I'm grateful today. Haven't had to spend a day locked up because of what you taught me. Haven't had to go hungry because of what you gave me. Have levels of character that would not have been there had it not been for your insistence. Know something about the word of God because you put it on my plate. And you made sure that I had a steady diet of it. I could call you blessed today because I know what blessed means. You wasn't a hoochie mama that I had to go and drag from the back of the alley somewhere. You were always in position and in place. You took care of your husband. You took care of your children. You are blessed. See, when your children can rise up and call you blessed, and your husband can praise you, baby, you took care of me. I might not have done it right. I might not have always agreed. We didn't always see eye to eye, but you were there. You took care of the household. I didn't have to worry about whether or not I should take the checks or leave the credit cards because I always knew that everything would still be in place when I returned. If there was a need, you'd call me and let me know that there was something else that was needed. Children rise up and call you blessed. Husband praises. Because they know when a woman has done the right thing about that man gonna know it. The woman has been a mother in that house, those children are gonna know it. And the reward is she hears the praise that come from them. And on this Mother's Day, if your mother's still living, you ought to call her and tell her thank you. If she's in glory, you ought to tell God thank you. Because you know that you were raised. You know that somebody did right. They wasn't perfect. No, none of them. Nor are we. And we won't be. But you can recognize the role that they played. Let me give you one more thing and I'm out. Look at what he says, verse 29. What she telling her son, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all because you are an excellent woman. If you are a wife with character, if you are a good homemaker, if you've been generous in your community, if you've been the kind of person that people want to hear from because of the words that you teach. You're a virtuous woman. You've outdone them all. Look at what he says, verse 30. Favor is deceitful. Sometimes you can be fooled by the favor you get. It can make you think that you have arrived because doors just automatically open and you don't even know who's causing the door to open. But you got to know that it's God behind every open door. And if God chooses not to open the door won't open. And sometimes we've benefited from the favor and we have become deceived into thinking that it's our doing. It's not our doing. It's God's mercy and God's grace that's doing it. And then she says, beauty is vain. Beauty can make you have a big head. It's all right to be beautiful. I want you to be beautiful. God wants you to be beautiful. That's why he made you like he did. He gave you smooth skin. He gave you beautiful hair. He gave you curvy shapes and all of those things like that because he wants you to be beautiful. But that's not what really gives you your beauty. It's not what's on the outside, baby. It's what's on the inside. Look at the last one right here in verse 30. A woman that feared the Lord, she shall be praised. What is it? She's a blessed saint when you become a saint of God, a child of God, someone above everything else, in spite of the struggles of the home, in spite of the struggles of the workplace, when you are a woman of God, when you are a person of character, when you respect God and fear the Lord, you will be praised, and your works, what you have done in your life, will speak for you. Other people might not know your name. Other people might not know your sacrifice. Other people may not know your pain. But God knows it all, because he knows in those secret, quiet moments when everybody else is gone, he sees you on your knees. He hear you crying out, "Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, whither shall I go?" God hears your prayer. God answers your prayer. When you can't protect your children, God protects them. When you can't provide for your family, God provides. How many know that prayer makes the difference? And when it comes through by prayer, I declare prayer changes things. And not only will prayer change things, prayer will change people too. Mothers couldn't make it without prayer. It's just assumed here that she was a praying woman. She had to have been if she feared the Lord. She had to have been if she was a devoted wife with character. She had to have been if she was a manager of her household. If she was willing to share generously with the neighbors. If she was had wisdom to give. It all came from God. And if her children were able to rise up and call her blessed, it's all because God's hand was on her for real. You ought to thank God today. You ought to thank God today that God has you still here. And he's making you, molding you, shaping you into the woman that he wants you to be. Be a woman like this. There are other kind of women you can be, but be this kind of woman. Be a Proverbs 31 woman. Be a Proverbs 31 woman. Be committed. Be a woman of character. Be a housemaker, homemaker. Be a good neighbor. Be a great teacher. Be the kind of woman, a blessed mother. Be an excellent saint, somebody who sees it all. And when you do, God in glory will bless you. It's my prayer today. If you're here today, if you're outside of God's family, this can be your moment of change. You've heard these words today. You can pray and ask God to move on your heart, to help you become that kind of woman. If you made mistakes, that's okay. He'll forgive you. If you haven't done that yet, you still can. Whatever it is, prayer makes the difference. Doors of the church open. The doors open anytime during this song. You can give God your heart. You can give one of these your hand. Let's begin a walk. Let's begin a life. Anytime during the singing, this is your moment of change. May God bless you and keep you.
Many times in my life, I've come through the storms and rain.
God is the one who brought you.
Time after time in my life, I've overcome heartaches and pains.
Yeah. I want you to think about a mama right here.
But I always kept faith in God, because I knew somehow he would make a way. Kept trusting,
kept trusting,
kept believing, and
believing.
I always prayed. Yeah. You see, through prayer, God strengthened me, and he made me strong. Prayer gave me the courage just to keep on, keep on, keeping on. I said prayer,
prayer made a difference.
changes things. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Prayer's been a shoulder just to lean on. Yeah. Prayer's been my comforter. Oh, when it seemed like hope was gone. Yeah. Prayer's been my rock, been my salvation. And prayer's been my shield. And whatever God's will in my life, there's no wound that prayer can heal, no. You see, through prayer, God strengthened me and made me strong. Prayer gave me the courage just to keep on, keep on, keep on, keeping on. So glad it was prayer.
Prayer made a difference.
Yes, it did. And if it comes through my prayer, I declare, yeah.
Prayer
changes things. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Friend, I call on Jesus.
Prayer
made
the difference.
Yes, it was prayer. Sometimes you have to get in your own secret closet. Pray. Go on and pray, yeah.
Prayer
will make all. Yes. Now if it comes through my prayer, I declare
prayer changes
things.
Somebody, if you know prayer makes the difference, if you are a mother, you know you just can't make it without prayer. If you're trying to be that godly person, you're trying to be that godly wife, you're trying to be that household, that homemaker, you're trying to be that right neighbor, you're trying to be that good teacher, you're trying to be that blessed mother, you can't do that by yourself. That requires God, and God does it through your prayers. And for the younger women who are coming up, the younger men who are coming up, put this model somewhere in your head and seek. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be always readily. Can't always, the first one is not always the right one. And sometimes it's not the next one. Sometimes you might have to go again. But whatever you need to do, just keep that picture in mind and let the Lord help you find what you need.
Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You have been listening to a message from the Greater Shallow Missionary Baptist Church, where we are reaching the world for Christ, located at 2135 Jefferson Avenue Southwest, Birmingham, Alabama 35211. For a copy of a CD or DVD, you can reach us at 205-925-5972 or visit us on the web at www.greatershallow.org. For an uplifting message, please join us for the next broadcast.